Good morning and welcome to this time of worship together. And can I extend the good wishes of the congregation to anyone who will be worshipping with us, listening to a recording of the service. Can I also say that because it's me, don't panic, Mr. Heppington is quite well and he's just having a Sunday off. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Let's give thanks to the Lord as we open our worship, singing the first hymn in the hymn sheet, The Lord's My Shepherd. Come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, as we gather for worship and fellowship and come into your presence, we ask that our souls may be refreshed in your presence. We praise and worship you, for you are a great and loving God. We thank you for sending your Son into the world to show us that love, and to help us to see how you want us to share that love with everyone around us. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, confessing that in our actions and reactions, we have failed you. In our loving and forgiving, we have fallen short of your mark. In our believing and trusting, we have denied your grace and power. Lord God, we place all the wrongs in each of our hearts before you. We know that if we confess our sins, you will forgive us and cleanse us. So may we live as those who know they are forgiven because of what Jesus has done for our lives. All these things we ask in his name and for his sake, and further pray in the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. We sing the second hymn on our sheet, another one from Mission Praise, I Serve a Risen Saviour, He's in the World Today. Both of our readings this morning come from Matthew's Gospel, beginning with Matthew chapter 6 and reading from verse 5. And it's a very familiar passage. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they loved to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. And then further on in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 14, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, we read from verse 13. And again, it's a very familiar passage. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his word, and to his name be the praise and the glory. Our third hymn is one that you may not recognise the words, but the tune should be familiar, and hopefully, unlike the last time, the tune will fit the words. Help.
Thank you.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm sure I've told you before, in fact, I know I've told you before, that when I was a small boy and dragged to a day's shopping in Glasgow, I was always taken with, well, I've written here my trousers, but in actual fact, those of you who know children, the boys in the 50s, it was shorts, but I was taken with my trousers with the pockets bulging and nearly round my ankles because my pockets were filled with coppers, as we used to call them, to give to the beggars in the streets. It was one of my mother's brilliant ideas, so that I could give to as many people as possible. I always had lots of loose change in my pocket because I was renowned in the family for aye greeting at the sight of these people begging in the streets. And even now, I don't greet, but it's something that continues to upset me, and I know that it's something that continues to upset Dorothy when we go to the city. Yes, I know that sometimes it can be organised crime, but many people that you still see in this day and age are in real need. And I don't know about you, but I think you must be in real despair to have the courage, yes, the courage, not the bravado, to sit in the street with a cup in your hand begging for coppers of the monetary kind. As Christians, we believe in the love of God for us and for all his people. So in the circumstances that I've described, it's not surprising that some of the people in the streets themselves, or indeed other non-believers, put us on the spot by asking us, where is your loving God as far as these people are concerned? Just a short time ago, we concluded our prayer here in the church in the words that Jesus taught us. Give us this day our daily bread. Yet so many people struggle for their daily bread. Television brings to us almost on a daily basis pictures of malnourished children and adults in distant countries fighting for survival. And this inevitably results in our donating to one appeal or another. A slang term for money or cash is dough or bread. And I find it interesting that the origin of these two words means something that is needed, spelt K-N-E-A-D-E-D. While in actual fact, it sounds very much like something that is needed, spelt N-E-E-D-E-D. We tend to think that when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, that we are only talking about food. But something I've read several times when looking at this passage from Matthew's Gospel is that the word used for daily in the original manuscripts is the word epiousios. I hope that's the correct pronunciation. And it's a word that biblical scholars for hundreds of years only found in this passage and nowhere else. It appeared in no other manuscripts, let alone historical accounts of Jesus. And people thought that this word epiousios was a word that Matthew himself had made up because it only appears where it is. But It's not a made-up word. A papyrus fragment found a number of years ago now was found with the words Espusios on it. And when it was looked at more closely, it was discovered that it was part of a woman's shopping list. And it was a note to remind her to buy supplies of certain food for the coming day. Over the years, scholars have deduced that this word referred to more than simply bread, but rather it referred to all our daily needs: food, money, health, shelter. When we see that as part of this Lord's Prayer, and when we see that the Lord's Prayer is a simple petition for our everyday needs, certain truths emerge from it. It tells us, first of all, that God cares for our bodies. Jesus showed that in the other passage that we read, the feeding of the 5,000. When he spent much of his time healing people's diseases and satisfying their physical hunger. In the story of the feeding of the 5,000, we see him anxious when he thought that the crowd that had followed him out into a remote place and who had a long journey home and no food to eat before they set out on that long journey, he had compassion for the crowd, despite the fact that he had gone to that place for peace and quiet. So our message to the non-Christian world has to be the same. God does care, and we should never be too busy to show others God's love and compassion. The Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray for our daily bread, for bread for the coming day. It teaches us to live one day at a time and not to worry and be anxious about the distant and unknown future. Indeed, it almost forbids anxious worry of a life that has not yet learned to trust in God. This passage is a reminder to us all as to how prayer works. If people prayed the Lord's Prayer and then sat back and wanted food to fall into their hands, they would certainly starve. This prayer reminds us that prayer and work go hand in hand, and that when we pray, we must go on to work in order to help make our prayers come true. I read an article about a preacher who liked to tell a certain story about a man who had an allotment. He had worked extremely hard to take it from a weed-strewn patch to a piece of land that produced the most wonderful flowers and vegetables. One time, he was showing a particularly pious friend round his allotment. And his friend said, "It's wonderful what God can do with a bit of ground like this, isn't it?" "Yes," said the man who had put in all the effort, "but you should have seen it when he only had it to himself." God's bounty and human labour must work together. Prayer, like faith, without works, is dead. It's not enough sometimes to tell someone in dire straits that we'll pray for them. We need to do something. When we pray, we are recognising two things: that without God, we can do nothing, and that without our effort and cooperation, God can do nothing for us and our fellow humans. It's worth noting that Jesus didn't pray, "Give me my daily bread," but rather, "Give us our daily bread." The problem of the world is not often that there's not enough to go round. The problem is not the supply of life's essentials. It's the distribution of them. This prayer teaches us never to be selfish in our prayers. It's a prayer which we can help God to answer by giving to others who are less fortunate than we are. It's not simply a prayer that we receive our daily bread, our daily essentials. It's also a prayer that we share our daily bread and our daily essentials with others. Some of you by now may have guessed where I'm going with this, but 2 weeks today, we are celebrating our harvest, and yet again, we are supporting the work of Blythewood Care in providing the boxes filled with simple, everyday things, everyday essentials, like soap, toothpaste, shampoo. Items that we in this country tend to take for granted. Yet to the men, women and children who receive a box, it's a present. It's a joy. In fact, it's their daily bread in a biblical sense. Those who receive a box don't have to be Christian, thank God. That would be completely contrary to what the charity wishes to achieve. But many are, and those who are believe that in actual fact the box that they get is from God, and it's from God using others to answer their prayers. This is Blythewood's 50th anniversary. 50 years ago, they distributed 300 boxes. Last year, they distributed 120,000 boxes in a greater number of countries. This anniversary year, they hope to issue even more. Yes, they know they'll never solve the problem, but they believe that they are doing God's work and answering prayer in what they're doing for others. It's also evidence that bigger things can come from small beginnings, just like our passage on the feeding of the 5,000. Every day we hear of yet more men, women and children who are in real need of some kind. Often the need is man-made, being caused by conflict, greed or hate. Some people look only to God to bring about solutions. But as I said earlier, people being motivated to help and support charities, causes and organisations in whatever way they can is the only way that God can begin to show his care for everyone. The need in our local communities, our country and the world can be quite overwhelming as well as worrying. But as Christians, we should feel compelled to help in even the smallest of ways, strong in our faith that we are doing God's will. The smallest of acts can lead to bigger things, and that we should trust in God to help us do that. No one attending that sermon on the Mount expected 5 loaves and 2 fish to not only feed 5,000 people, let alone have food enough to spare. We in this day must hope, pray, and act to ensure that our Christian care has an effect on the lives of those whom we are trying to serve. We don't live just by having our material needs fulfilled. We need something more, And one of the things that we all need is hope. Hope for tomorrow. So let's not get too dispirited as we read the news articles, watch the TV programmes, or see those in need around us. Don't let us decry God for sitting back and doing nothing. Rather, let's remind ourselves that if we try to help him, no matter how little, then we can have hope for a brighter future for ourselves and others in this country and throughout the world. Amen. We continue our worship singing the fourth hymn on the hymn sheet, Inspired by Love and Anger.
Thank you.
we continue to worship God in our offering. We come before God once again in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, you have given us riches beyond measure. We can only return a fraction of what we owe you. But we ask, Lord, that you will bless our offerings and help us to use them wisely in your service and for your glory here in Stevenston and further afield. Father, we remember before you the needs of others, those who feel rejected and unloved and unwanted, those who are seriously ill, those who are angry at the way that they have been let down, who feel life is passing them by, those who have been or are about to be made redundant, but who would dearly love a job. Those who are devastated by the death of a loved one. Lord God, we ask that you will comfort all who are in these situations. Lord, this morning we pray for all who serve you in far-off places and who face dangers unknown to us. May they know that you are always with them and grant them the wisdom to deal with the problems facing them. Lord God, we ask your blessing on our congregation at this time of vacancy. Help us to continue to be motivated to show your love within our community. We pray for the sick and the housebound of our congregation. Help us not to forget them, and show us ways of sharing with them the fellowship of membership of this church. Lord, this morning we also remember those in the United States whose hearts grieve on this, the anniversary of the attack on the Twin Towers. All these things we ask in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour and Lord. Amen. We bring our service to a close singing the final hymn on the sheet from CH4, Look Forward in Faith. As we leave this time of worship, we ask that you will be with us as we go our separate ways. Grant to each one of us your strength to enable us to cope with whatever is asked and expected of us, that in all things we may know your loving presence to uphold us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each one of us and those whom we hold dear today and every day.